Good morning. Before we begin, we have a few announcements. First, the elders will meet this Wednesday at 6:30. Notice on Thursday, we have AA circles in the Zumba class, and then Friday, Al-Anon, and Saturday, AA. Also, there will be a work day Tuesday, September 20th, from 9 to 12. And also, if you have a couple hours from 12 to 2 on Wednesday and Thursday, they'll be organizing all the paperwork and all the history of the church. So please come and help there. Also, the senior youth group, that's grades 6 through 12, will meet after church Sunday, September 25th, until 2:30. Also, there's a kids club meeting Wednesday at 4:30. I guess this is an organizational meeting or just a regular one? Organizational meeting. Also, we will be collecting money for the flood victims. We're trying to get $1,000 by October 2nd. So bring in your extra money that you have, and please put it in the envelopes in the back of the pews. There's some little white envelopes there. We will be collecting, our final collection will be October 2nd, and then we will turn that over to community ministries. Are there any other announcements? Oh.
The junior youth group is going to Rich Farms on Sunday, October 2nd. It'll be after church. We'll eat lunch and then we'll drive. So there'll be more information. Sunday, October 2nd. That's 2 weeks.
October, right after church. I love Rich Farms. Jenny? Okay, so we need 18 pillows and you need 10 pillows and any air mattresses that anybody has available, right?
No, I have the air mattress.
Oh, okay. Okay, and they're coming on Monday?
No, Monday.
Next Monday. Okay. Okay, thank you. And
this is in regard to our circles program. On the 29th of September, which is not this Thursday, but next Thursday, we will be having a special evening meeting, of course. Dinner is always served at 5 o'clock, but there will be information regarding the flood relief funding that is being collected. So I would encourage any of you know anybody who was affected by the flood, recent floods. I put some flyers out in the narthex. Any of you folks who would like to come, you're more than welcome to come. As I said, dinner is at 5 o'clock, probably 5 o'clock on the 29th, and then there will be information about how the funds are going to be distributed through the community on that.
Okay, thank you. Sounds like we got a busy church. Oh, there's another one?
Yeah, Bible study is coming Monday night instead of the 26th.
Okay, so Bible study, women's Bible study, right? Okay, Monday. So that's this week. Okay. Any others? Okay. Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. The community comes together to serve God and worship. Our opening hymn is number 318, Come Thou Fount of Ever Blessing, and that's in the Brown Hymnal.
Thank you.
call to worship this morning is in your chimes. Let us praise the Lord.
We who are God's servants will honor God.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, now and forever.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise the Lord.
We need your help, Lord God, to be consistent and enthusiastic as followers of Jesus Christ. Too readily we become distracted. Too nonchalantly we strive for holiness. Too readily we accept a lesser standard. Too easily we follow our teachers and masters. Pardon us, Lord, for we have failed. Give up spiritual stamina and encourage us as we resolve to anew with you. Let us pray. We realize as we come before you in worship that our lives are transparent before you. You know our sitting down and our rising up, our waking and our sleeping. We pray that not only what we seem to be is but also what we are, and that we will be accepted in your sight so that we may pray what you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Community comes together to share tithes and offering. Whoever is faithful in a very little, said Jesus, is faithful also in much. Whether we have little or much, let us now be faithful in our tithes and offerings. Our offertory hymn is in the Brown Hymnal, number 454, verses 1, 2, and 4, Trust and Obey.
As we present these gifts, we are saying, both in symbol and actuality, that we wish to be faithful to you in all that we are now and in all that we hope to be in the future. Amen.
Before we read our scripture this morning, we just want to say welcome back to our minister who's been gone from us for so long. I hope you came back refreshed and ready to go. Although the first time I know is tough going back to work. Okay, the community comes together and proclaims the word of God. Our scripture reading is in Psalms 60, chapter 68, verses 1 through 10. That's the Old Testament, and page 529 in your pew Bibles. Let God rise up. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be joyful. Let them exalt before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his names. Lift up a song for him who rides above the clouds. His name is the Lord. Be exultant before him. Fathers of orphans and protectors of widows, God is the holy habitation. God gives the desolate a home to live in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked. The heavens poured down rain. At the presence of God, the God of the Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God. You showered abroad. You researched your heritage when it languished. You restored us. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. The sanctuary choir this morning will be singing the anthem. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
Our anthem this morning was written in 1968 by then Catholic priest Peter Scholtes. And it was inspired by John 13, the 35th verse, which says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Peter wrote this hymn while he was a parish priest at St. Brendan's on the south side of Chicago in the 1960s. At the time, he was leading a youth choir out of the church basement and was looking for an appropriate song for a lot of the ecumenical and interracial events that they were sponsoring. When he couldn't find the right song, he wrote it. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
Thank you. Indeed, truer words have never been spoken. As Christians, we are known by our love more than anything else, and it is the love that we have for one another that we miss the most when we are gone. It is indeed great to be back and to see you all after the sabbatical, and really a wonderful summer for me, and I hope for you as well. I look forward to speaking with you and visiting with you and catching up with you, and all that has happened in the time that I was gone, and all that we're going to do together as we move forward into the fall. Over the last 3 months, I was able to worship with a lot of different people in a lot of different buildings, a lot of different places. I've seen some beautiful churches and some nice congregations, but nothing is as beautiful as coming back to your home and your family. And it is a joy to be here. Last time I was here, Wanda wasn't playing the organ. It's wonderful to have Wanda back. I know that you've been enjoying her while I was gone. Last time I was here, I'm not sure what else was different, but I know that a lot of people are pregnant. That's great. Let's keep that coming. Let's keep that going. And I know also it was just beginning to be summer. Now summer is just ending. But there's so much to do and look forward to. Look forward to Kids Club starting again. And I hope all those who are willing to help will meet at the meeting this Wednesday at 4:30. And I know we can use some more help in the kitchen and some other areas as well. And look forward to Coffee House and Truck or Treat and all the things that we do, and maybe some new things as well. One thing that I've been working on, you may have seen in the Narthex, is working on that table out there. I want to make it a welcome station for people when they come to get information about the congregation. So I've put some flyers and stuff out there. And if there are events or other organizations or meetings that you have information for, please give it to me so we can put it out on the table in the Narthex that people, as soon as they come into our church, can see how vibrant our community is and all that we are doing and are looking forward to do as well. And so let us gather together as the community of Christ in this time and place to lift up our prayers, our thanksgivings and our concerns, our joys and our sorrows with one another. I want to begin with a great joy. My father had his surgery on Thursday. It's 6 months coming it took to get to that point, and so far everything seems well. As soon as the surgery was done, if you recall, he had a bulging disc in his back and has not been able to move without pain for 6 months. As soon as the surgery was over, he had relief in his hip and his leg. His back still hurts, and to some degree that's because that's where the surgery was, and so the day after, he was up and walking, and so I praise God for that. And thank you all for your prayers this many, many months. What joys and concerns do you have to share this morning and lift up to God? Roxanne? We rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Celebrate your anniversary, but also the loss of your dear friends. And pray for the healing of Sierra's arm and also for solving the situation that she's been experiencing. I know also this has been the summer of broken arms. I'm afraid to look at Facebook for fear that Ben Ginley is going to be hurt again or break an arm. Stay out of the hospital, Ben. So it's good to see you back, and I know that Joe is getting better, and we give thanks for that. Other prayers and concerns. Wanda?
My brother Frank Wilson is in Highlands Hospital. He was diagnosed last evening with diabetes. And I just pray as he makes lifestyle changes that he will improve.
Pray for Frank as he battles this difficult condition, but know that with help in education, it's something that can be lived with. Thank you for sharing that. Heidi? That's wonderful news. We give thanks for that and pray for the healing for his surgery and for his vision as well. Thank you. Seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Christ and Holy Spirit, you form one communion as three persons. You create promise in our souls for new life. You redeem us by forgiving our sin and making us new. You sustain us in times of trial and call us forth as instruments of your peace. For these good gifts we are thankful. May we know that as three persons in one purpose, you provide all that we could ever need or want. With your blessing, you help us to attain new heights of faith, understanding, and connection with each other. We give you thanks for your promise that those who wait for you, wait upon your goodness and your mercy, wait upon your word and your presence, will rise up on wings of eagles. We may run and not grow weary. We may walk and not grow faint. We give you thanks for this renewal that comes to all those who wait upon you. And so we give you thanks also for this day that you have given us, this Sabbath day that you have called for us to put aside, to rest and renew. Not as a burden, not as a command, but as a gift. We have this time to reconnect with you, to feel this presence, to feel your presence in our lives, to call upon your strength for all of the challenges that we must face. We begin each day by giving thanks. For this is a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Help us to make the most of each day as they come. And so we celebrate births and coming births. We celebrate wedding anniversaries and birthdays. We celebrate surgeries that have been successful, and we give thanks and pray for Eli's healing and his improved vision. And we lift up our petitions to you, Lord, knowing that we need so much help, that sometimes we feel so powerless, but there's nothing better than to turn to you, the most powerful force in all the universe, and to know that you hear, you listen, you respond, and you care. We pray for the healing of arms. We pray for the healing of souls or spirits that have been broken by the death of loved ones. For those who have passed on, we pray for their salvation and their presence with you eternally. We pray for those who have been given diagnosis of sickness and health, ill health. Especially we lift up Frank Wilson into your care and pray that he will continue to hold fast to you and to listen to his doctors. We pray for the recovery and the healing and the renewal of Ron Stillwell as he recovers from his surgery, that he may continue to walk better than before and as good as in the past. And as we pray for the healing of Sierra's arm, we pray also for the healing of her spirit, that the situation with the bully may be solved, that he may see what he has done to her emotionally and repent, that his parents will be able to intercede, that the teachers will do what is right and what is necessary so that she may have an environment to grow and to learn and to be herself. We pray these things, Lord, as your gathered community in your church. We give thanks for the opportunity to gather together in your name and in this place, and the opportunity you have given us to draw close to you. May the Spirit we receive today be enough to nourish us in the days ahead as we continue to sing your praises and to live your calling in this world. That we may be light to those in darkness, that we may be spirit and breath to those in need of renewal, that we may be your witnesses in your church, in this world, and this life. It is your name we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. I'll be there in a second. Don't all, everybody get up to help me at once. Don't listen to the man behind the curtain. Hey, how's everybody? It's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time. You have a good summer? Oh, all right. Hold on a second. Bad news?
cool when that happens. Feels like you've got the suitcase right and dragging around.
There's nothing worse than you forget something. That's why we got Karen to turn. Okay, one more. We're going to go Ian and Ruthie. Ian? What? Oh, I hate that one happens. And Ruthie? Oh, let's try down the trees? Leaves? Well, you guys have so much to tell me. I can't wait to catch up with you all. You know, adults, when the adults grow up, they also a lot of times carry a lot of baggage with them, even though they don't have a suitcase or a backpack. Sometimes adults walk around feeling bad about something that happened in the past, or they feel guilty about something they did or didn't do, or they're upset because they want to do so much and they can't, or they're worried about bills they got to pay or stuff like that. Do you know, we're listening, we'll tell stories later. When I was going through the airport, it would have been really awesome if somebody would have come up to me and said, can I help you with that, and taken my bag. Do you know how great that would have been? Then I would have been like, oh man, this is awesome. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody, when you have that baggage, spiritual baggage, somebody would come by and take it, and someone would come to you and say, I see you're worried about the test today, could I take that worry off your shoulders? That would be really good, wouldn't it? Or if they said, I see you're really worried about that game that's happening today. You don't know if you're going to do good in it. I'm going to take that worry away from you. Okay? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? What do you got to say? I'm worried about the Steeler game today. Yes, yes, but that's on a much smaller level, much smaller level. Wouldn't it be nice if when we're all grown up and you think we've got it all figured out, but we don't, we have worries too and we have baggage. Someone came to me and said, you're worried about those bills you've got to pay. I'm not going to pay them, but I could take the worry off your shoulders. You're worried because someone you love is sick. Someone you love is sick. Wouldn't it be great if they would take that baggage off you? Do you know who can do that? God. That's right. Not the airplane pilot, not the people at the airport, but God. Whenever we feel weighed down by all the extra baggage we carry with us, let's ask God to help us. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, come to me, all those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Heavy laden means like heavy weighed down. And he wasn't talking about those people who were carrying lots and lots of bags to the airports. He didn't have airports back in his day. He was talking about people who have a lot of weight on their shoulders because they're worried or they're upset or they're sad. And he will give us rest. He will help us carry us our extra baggage wherever we go. Okay? I hope you remember that this week and every week until we see each other next week, okay? You can go to your class now. Thank you. Hey, does anybody want to help me carry this stuff out of here?
Me. There's nothing in there.
Are you sure? Try it. Wow! You're really strong. Want to try that one? Wow! You guys are strong. Can you carry that stuff in my office?
No,
there's lots of stuff in there, but you're really strong. You're really strong.
Our second scripture lesson today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, and that is found on 121 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. 121. Where we read, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from these entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm very grateful that you got such good preaching while I was gone. I received a very lovely note from Reverend Nikki on my desk that I understand she shared with you as well. And I also, if she had not let you know, to tell you that she benefited greatly from preaching here and was very touched by your hospitality and warmth. I understand also that everyone else who preached did a great job, and there was a nice message put on our church Facebook page last week from a visitor we had last week, Mike's friend Racine, who not only mentioned about Mike's sermon, but specifically wanted to compliment the choir about what a wonderful treasure we have here in our congregation, and it is very true. I want to say that when I was gone, I heard a lot of really good preaching, maybe even better than what you hear every Sunday here. And I saw some really beautiful stained glass windows, even better than that one there. And there was also some really good prayers, but I did not hear music as good as we have here every Sunday. And it is truly a wonder to see the world and to come back and to appreciate what you have upon your return. There's a lot of wonder in this world, to be sure, as we have seen from or read in this passage. So much so that you've probably heard of the phrase seven wonders of the world. That was something that people celebrated and talked about and have done so since ancient times. The original seven wonders of the world were works of art and architecture. They were regarded by the ancient Greeks and the Roman observers as the most extraordinary structures of antiquity. They were statues and memorials, mausoleums and tombs, all built by human hands, to show the greatest height of human ambition and skill. I've always heard that phrase, but I could never remember what they were, and the only one I could ever name were the pyramids. And that was one of them. But also there are the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Statue of Zeus at Olympia, the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus, the Mausoleum of Halicarnassus, the Colossus of Rhodes, and the Pharaohs of Alexandria. All statues, monuments, mausoleums built in the ancient world, pretty much in the ancient Near East, to honor human ambition, as well as to inspire human ambition and declare the potential of the people. They're so amazing. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but there is, you know, a theory that many people have that the pyramids must have been built by aliens, because how on earth could the people at that time, with that technology they had, make them? I don't really give a whole lot of stock to that theory, but it is, when you see them, they do seem otherworldly, especially when you consider they didn't have the cranes that we have today. They didn't have the technology that we had today. Most were also made as a gift to the gods in an attempt to incur their favor, by impressing them with their devotion and their skill. But of the original seven wonders of the world, all were man-made, and all except for the pyramids have long since fallen into the sea or back into the desert or into the ground. Now, I've never seen any of them in person. I've seen pictures, drawings, what have you. But I have seen some incredible temples and some lovely churches and some magnificent halls and statues and memorials in my life. Certainly, it was amazing to be in England and to see the wonders of Westminster Abbey and York Minster, to touch walls that were more than 1,000 years old at times. I was able to go to the Tower of London, and that in itself was great, but one of the best things inside of it is that there is graffiti that is over 500 years old. I mean, if you're in the Tower of London, you don't have much to do except to carve little notes into the wall, as they did. And that has been preserved as best as possible for over 500 years. One of the most amazing aspects of this experience was to stand in the courtyard of the tower and to see this ancient building, this very old building, older than anything we have here in America. But at the same time, in the background, to see the modern skyscrapers of the London skyline. The Shard, the tallest building in London, and one of the most futuristic or modern in designs. It was odd to see the interplay of the past and the present. And strange to think of how small the tower looked in comparison to what we are able to build today. Still, it was hard to imagine that the current wonders of Britain might last as long as the ancient wonders that have been preserved. For each civilization has its own set of wonders, its own wonderful buildings, its own great statues. Without a doubt, the greatest wonder of the biblical world, as we have read, was the Temple of Jerusalem. Built by Solomon during the height of Israel's greatness, long even before the Tower of London or Westminster Abbey was even a thought in anyone's mind, the temple was the dwelling place for God Almighty. The centerpiece of Jewish worship, the only place where sacrifices could be made. The eastern entrance to the temple complex was enshrined by a thing called the Nicanor Gate, which was a bronze gate also called the Beautiful Gate. Here at the architectural wonder built by people to please God, many beggars came to beg, hoping to take advantage of human hearts in their most merciful state. Well, first off, of course, that's where people gathered the most. So they went to where the crowds were. But again, the hope was that these people going to worship God and sacrifice to God might have their hearts a little more sympathetic to the pleas of the poor. And so in particular, as we read today in the book of Acts, there was a man unable to walk from birth, carried there each day by his friends, asking for alms from those entering the temple. When Peter and John, the apostles, came by to worship in the temple, on their way in, the man asked them for money. And not only did he hope to capitalize on their generosity, it was part of the Jewish law to give alms to the poor and needy. And this man was certainly one of these, maybe one of the most. Now, Peter and John were not men of wealth, but they knew that God does not ask us only to give of our wealth. Sometimes that's the easiest thing to give, to write a check, hardest to give time or our talents. And nothing else, this story reminds us that God asks us to give of our whole selves. And certainly when I was in England, that was right at the time when the floods were happening in Connellsville. And as much information as I could gather from email, and cell phones don't work over there, American cell phones don't work over there, I could still see how much the community was pulling together, and when I was able to come back and to read about it, it's impressive what has happened in this town to help one another in the times of most need. But remembering then that it is important to give of our whole selves, Peter responds to the man, "I have no silver, I have no gold, but what I have I give you." What is the man thinking? Well, if you don't have silver, you don't have gold, what are you going to give me? I don't know that he imagined what he was going to get. Peter now is only a week or two away from the Pentecost happening, from receiving the Holy Spirit. It's one of the first times he tries this power that he has. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he says, "Stand up and walk." With that, the man who had never walked before stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. A beautiful story. At this point, the man who turned to the beautiful gates to help him knew all man-made things were temporary. It was here that the man who had asked for gold learned that all the material things lead to naught. Now, it was very reasonable that he would ask for that because he had no way of making a living and he needed those things to buy food and perhaps shelter and clothing, and we need all those material blessings to be sure. But I can't imagine that he would exchange the gift that he received, the gift of walking and being made whole for all the money, silver, and gold in the world. But he was not the only one to learn the lesson that day. For the people who came to see him and came to be with him, the people who were near, they also saw. They recognized the man as the beggar who was there every day, who could not walk. Yet here he was, walking and leaping and praising God. They were filled with wonder, as the scripture says, but not at the grandeur of the temple, as beautiful it was. Not at the Nicanor gate, the beautiful gate, as beautiful as it was, but at the sight of a man who had not been able to walk, now walking. At the sight of a man leaping and praising and giving thanks to God. It reminds me of a story I once heard. I may have shared it with you before. I do enjoy it so much. A story of junior high school students being asked to study the seven wonders of the world, as at some point we all do. And at some point we probably memorize them, and at some point we quickly forget them. But at the end of the lesson, the students were then asked to list what they would say are the seven wonders of the modern world. What are the amazing things that make us fill with wonder now when we see them? And of course there was some disagreement, but the ones that received the most votes were still Egypt's Great Pyramids, the only one of the original seven still standing. The Taj Mahal in India, the Grand Canyon in Arizona, the Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, and the Great Wall of China. Amazing structures each. Most of them, except for the Grand Canyon, made by human hands, far surpassing anything else of their time and even of this day in their elegance and also their design. But while gathering the votes, the teacher noticed that one student, a choir girl, had not turned in her paper yet. And she asked the girl if she was having trouble with her list, and she said, yes, a little trouble. And I couldn't quite make up my mind what were the seven wonders of the world. There are so many. She said, well, tell us what you have, and maybe we can help. And the girl hesitated. She knew that her list was not the same as the others. And she read, I think the seven wonders of the world are to touch, to taste, to see, to hear, to feel, to laugh, and to love. And the room was so quiet, nobody knew what to say. But the girl definitely got an A on that paper. Because there are many wonders in this world. It is indeed a wonderful world. We don't always notice that or appreciate that, but we must be reminded of the wonders that are all around us. But we also must be reminded that the wonders made by human hands eventually turn to dust, fade away, must be constantly preserved against the nature of time. The statue of Zeus at Olympia was destroyed in a fire during the 6th century. The temple of Artemis at Ephesus was destroyed by the Goths in the 3rd century. The Colossus of Rhodes was destroyed by an earthquake 220 years before Jesus was born. The pharaohs of Alexandria lasted until the 4th century when it was leveled by an earthquake. And Solomon's temple, the beautiful gates where the beggar sat and met with Peter and John and was healed, destroyed by the Romans within a generation of that day. About 2,000 years ago. Many of England's castles still stand, but many of them are in some form of ruin. Most of the abbeys of England were vandalized and left to decay after the Protestant Reformation because they believed that they were too popish. All stained glass was smashed during the English Civil War because they believed that the Reformed Church of England was still too close to the Catholic Church and everything was an idol. Even the churches that stand today, Westminster Abbey, York Minster, places like that, they used to be painted with decorations of the Bible and the saints, and they were gilded, and all of that was removed after the Civil War. Since any building, fortress, cathedral, statue, monument that we put our hopes in or cast our longings onto will eventually fall into the past, is there any doubt that the wonders of the world that the little girl spoke of, to touch and taste, to see and to hear, and then to run and to laugh and to love are the true seven wonders of the world. Now, coincidentally, these things that make life so wonderful are wonders that come only from God. Perhaps a human hand, such as a doctor, can restore sight or hearing or the ability to walk. But these things were given to us by God, first and foremost. When the crippled man and the patrons at the temple learned that the supposed wonders of human invention are nothing compared to the seven true wonders of divine design. And what is more, few people in the ancient world ever saw any of those human-made wonders, let alone all at once. But each day, every child of God enjoys several of God's wonders all at the same time. Perhaps the great pyramids and statues of the world are so wondrous because they stand out from the rest of the world. But the gifts that God gives us are so abundant, so manifold, so present in our everyday life that we get used to them. And often we don't fully appreciate them until they are gone. My dad certainly did not appreciate the ability to walk without pain until he spent 6 months not being able to take a single step without it. Perhaps that is the most wondrous thing of all. That we could see so many wonders and that they cease to be wonderful. When the way of the world has made us so cynical that we think of what a wonder it is to see. Or at least we think of how terrible it would be if we could not. When you're feeling particularly unblessed, think of how blessed you are to be able to taste and to touch. When you wonder what is so wondrous in your life, run and laugh and love and wonder no more. It is indeed a wonderful world that God has given us. It is indeed a wonderful God that we worship and love. Amen. Now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems of their past and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn in the brown hymnal is 476, More Love to Thee. As human beings, we eat a lot. 3 meals a day at least, maybe some snacks and dessert to go along with it. But we know that no matter how much we eat, no matter how full we get, eventually, sometimes sooner rather than later, we're going to be hungry again. Think for a second of the biggest meal you ever ate and ask yourself, how long did it keep you full? I can think of some Thanksgiving dinners that I finished in physical pain with how stuffed and full I was. And thinking to myself, I'm never going to eat again, but by the next morning, I was ready for leftovers, ready to do it all again. God knows this as He designed us and created us, and God knows this as He provided for the Israelites as they wandered in the desert every day, giving them manna and water and quails. And He knew this also when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who while He was here, fed so many people, and yet again and again they were hungry. But God also knew that Jesus would be here for only a short period of time. And that when He left, the people would hunger again. And that is why God also gave us this meal. For this meal, it does very little to fill our physical hunger, but it does everything to fill our spiritual hunger. Each Sunday, we gather around a table where the menu is the same and the community is universal. Around this table, our emptiness is filled with the amazing grace of God, and the reminder of a Savior who loves us, is with us, and longs for us to be in communion with Him. To paraphrase Hemingway, this is indeed a movable feast. It has stood throughout the centuries and on every continent and place, in every nation, as a reminder that God is with us, always and forever. And that we are called to be in communion not only with God, but with one another and with Christians the world over. When we break bread in Christ's presence, as we do at this meal, this tiny bit of bread, this small amount of juice, becomes a sacred meal that fills not only our stomach, but especially our heart and soul. But we know that it does not last forever. And so we come back again and again to be filled up and renewed as just a little glimmer, an appetizer for the eternal, wonderful banquet that awaits us in the presence of our Lord in the next life. Let us share in this meal together, and let us take our fill of the grace and the love that makes our cup run over. And now this morning, let us pray.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing each one of us here. I remembered while Reverend Chris was just speaking that once when I first came here, Reverend Sabella stopped me in the hallway and said to me, "Teresa, why do you come here? What do you get out of coming to church here?" And I said, "I have to come here to be fed." And I knew, and he knew what I meant. I needed to be fed spiritually and emotionally and completely. And this was the perfect place for me to be. And I was very grateful that God led me here. Amen.
For I hand on to you, it was also handed on to me. That on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took the bread. And He said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, He took the cup. And after He blessed it, He poured it out and said, "This is the new cup. This is the covenant of the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again." Now the community responds to the Word of God. All believers, anyone gather here who wish to become a member of this congregation, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, or rededicate your life to God, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 594, Anywhere with Jesus, verses 1 and 3. Let us stand as we sing.
Christ go with you and lift every burden, that you may be able to lift your eyes to see all the wonders that God has provided for you and put into this wonderful world. Amen.